Welcome to 1EMS, the assessment. I'm here with Brian Haney of all kinds of businesses, Tim's Consultants, Trinity EMS.
More to come.
All good stuff. So we're going to play a little game. 3, 2, 1. Right? Three questions get you warmed up. They're easy. All right? Two questions that are a little bit harder. Then the last question you get to pick, but it's going to be the hardest question.
Okay.
All right? So out of the easy questions, what do you love about EMS?
EMS, the evolving change of nothing. the constant fight of trying to implement change in process procedures is the most fun part. It's trying to create that continuity, that regularity, that consistency at a higher level to make sure that we all can improve ourselves, improve the field of EMS, as well as the rules and regulations for everybody to abide by.
So the session that I just came out of was about the Freedom House and how it really started paramedic medicine in the United States. There was a bunch of black men from the poorest neighborhood in Pittsburgh, and the public domain, you know, the mayor, the city fire, the city police, basically were fighting against it because it was poor. But the private sector was the Freedom House and the doctors who wanted it, and they brought it around. So I know you're gonna have some stuff to say about that.
Why didn't we know about it sooner? How long have you been in this?
I've been in it 20-something years. I just heard about it last year. It was the first time.
And once again, the private sector will prevail when the county and government and localities will fail every time, because nobody wants to do nothing. Nobody wants to take a chance. Nobody wants to do something so great and so big and be scared to fail. Yeah. Nobody wants to lose a job over it. So this all starts from the top down. And when the people at the top are unwilling and scared to not get voted back into office or whatever it is, that's where the private sector comes in. And the private sector puts their own money up. Or their
always.
Time. Money and time, the two things that drive any person in this world. So if you watch where people are putting their money and their time, that's where you'll see that they're most vested in.
So here's another easy one. How long have you been in EMS?
Since 05.
All right, not quite a rookie. And why EMS?
I've hit a point in my life where I was just totally unhappy in the corporate world. Felt like that basically what I was doing was just spinning my wheels. Groundhog Day, felt like I needed a change. I knew relatives and family members that were in first responders. And I finally felt that maybe that would be my track, my path. And I went to night school and became an EMT, or got my EMT numbers. And then I was also working another couple other side jobs when I left the corporate world. And once I realized that this was my true calling and passion of helping people when they were down and out, and I really enjoyed doing that, I needed to figure out how to support my family, because working at a fire department or working at an EMS ambulance service was not going to be able to support my family on that. So I took the path of ownership, and I finally realized that that was going to be the ultimate goal for me, and gave me a lot more control on how I could better serve from a private standpoint than a county standpoint.
All right. So here's the second round, a little bit harder questions. And this is going to be harder for you to keep it to one thing, I know, but this one's harder. If you could change one thing about EMS, what would it be?
The coming together of county and private services. I think if we could
coming together as one?
That's just one. And create a one EMS mindset. I think that would be the first step in the right direction for solving all the problems in EMS.
So what is one piece of advice for somebody entering the field?
Be open-minded. Don't be selfish. It's not about you, even though this is going to be a path for you to help other people. At some point, you do have to understand where you are and where you want to go in this business, and try to understand the career that you want in the end results. But have an open mind, be flexible, and always look for opportunity.
Awesome. You do that as an ambulance owner. You've made plenty of opportunities for people inside your companies.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know that was a statement, but it's also a question.
No, I do. And the reason why is I've always come from a place of giving back. I had opportunities given to me, and as soon as I knew it was an opportunity and it was a viable opportunity or something I was interested in doing, I ran after it with everything I got and took advantage of it, because they don't come along very often. And I always was, I don't want to say a thrill seeker, but I was always looking at new opportunities, because like I said, there's only so many that come so often, and I was always interested to see where it would go, sort of like, you know, going down the rabbit hole.
I love it. And the last one, this is the hardest question. You got to pick from one of these categories. Finance, education, feelings, or you can ask me anything.
Oh, boy.
That's really for the people that don't have answers. I know you got answers. So you want to pick from finance, education, or feelings?
Well, I get to ask you a question.
Well, no, I'm asking you. Or you can ask me a question, but I got you. I want you to pick finance. So it's a category. It's like Final Jeopardy.
Okay.
Your category is finance, education, or feelings.
The last two the first one, finance.
All right, finances. How can we in EMS get to competitive pay when our competition is hospitals that are paying anywhere from $40 an hour to $100 an hour for our paramedics to go into their ICUs and ERs and take blood pressures?
I spoke with a lady from Argentina when I was on this trip, and she was a nurse. And in Argentina, they have an EMT, a nurse, and a doctor on an ambulance. And all their ambulances are either hospital-based or county-based or city-based. But they have those three people on every ambulance. There's no such thing as a paramedic. And she understood what a paramedic does. I'm not putting down what paramedics
sure,
do.
Sure.
I'm all for what they do, and I think they should be paid more because of the responsibility that they carry on their shoulders out in the field. Going back to that question again is making sure that in this industry, how we would get there is through, obviously, higher reimbursements from insurance companies. They got to figure out and solve the problems with that, because it's costing us more and more with fuel going up, competitive salaries, and cost of insurance for your benefits for your employees, continuing education, higher education. I think there needs also be a career path, too, that's in place for people to step up each time into a new level and be motivated to step up into those times and those levels. And if you create those doors and open opportunities, I think people will start doing that, and you'll see the increases in pay.
So can you elaborate on reimbursement for people who don't understand what reimbursement is? Don't we just go run the call, get paid for the call?
Absolutely. You do. But it's what you get paid for the call. It's how much you're going to get paid for the call. Medicare is the sole person that's leading that charge right now, and all the other insurance companies are running off what Medicare allows as far as reimbursement. And so it's sort of backwards to where a government-supplied service, which is antiquated, it's old, it needs to be updated and renewed, especially for the people that are putting in money or paying into Medicare, and then you have a portion of people or not that aren't paying into Medicare. And that's the whole problem there, is it's inverted. The fewer people are paying into a program that's going to try to cover everybody's expenses, the total population, and you can't do that. It's fiscally impossible. But what you can do is you can have a way to where the other insurance companies that you can participate, so you have the marketplace, it's an affordable insurance and carry it, so you don't put the burden on the smaller amount of people. In that you can't afford to carry some type of insurance that will cover the cost. But the ultimate goal is to get Medicare to reevaluate its payments on a transport and understand that it's not 10% that is fluctuating in times like we're going through just recently. It's 30%, it's 40%, it's 50%. You see fuel up and down, it's higher than ever right now. You got stretchers used to pay $20,000 for, and now it's $35,000 to $40,000 for. I mean, everything is just going up. Every year they're going up 15, 20%, and I'm sitting here having to fight for a 3% increase in reimbursements. And the math will never add up. The numbers don't lie. I had a very influential person in my life that explained to me, if you follow the numbers, you're always going to be okay. But when the numbers finally reach the maximum amount of being reimbursed, you're going to see this whole industry fall apart.
Wow. So I got a surprise bonus round.
All right.
What is one thing that one EMS can do for you?
Get the word out. Connect with the people that can make the decisions and changes, and get the word out of what needs to be done.
Awesome. Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks, Charlie.